Good morning, church. This morning we will be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we are reading from verse 1 to 3. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word, or a letter seeming to come to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. This morning I want us to concentrate on the misunderstanding that took place in the church due to a teaching, a prophetic word, or even a letter supposedly written by Paul about one of the most anticipated events to take place in the church, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this is why And this is the reason why Paul had to write this second letter to the Thessalonians to address this particular misunderstanding. Ellen dealt in great detail with the day of the Lord on the 23rd of August. If you have not listened to it, please do. It is worth your time. I saw a cartoon of an old couple sitting on the porch. The old man turns to his wife and says, "In the moonlight, your teeth look like pearls." The wife replies, "Who is Pearl and what were you doing in the moonlight with her?" How do you think the conversation ended for the old man? He had some explaining to do. Being a man, I'm assuming the old man was talking about jewelry. I think this was a big misunderstanding from the wife. Big or small, emotions could be worked up. In a similar fashion, this misunderstanding at Thessalonica was big enough to stir the believers in their faith in a bad way. It changed their behavior about life, and their work ethic was greatly affected, as addressed in last week's meditation by Tony. It was necessary for Paul to address this before other believers could get disillusioned or drop out of faith. It was a must and a necessity for Paul to address this, because truth matters. He had some explaining to do, and he did. He even mentions that this may have come through a spirit, meaning that someone may have claimed to have had a special revelation about the day of the Lord, and may have shared it with the believers, causing a lot of confusion in the church. There is a sad reality we need to face, and that is there are false teachers and false prophets masquerading as ministers of the gospel. Jesus even warned us against such in Matthew 7 verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are wolves." And in Matthew 24:24, Jesus continues to say, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Not long after Jesus had returned to heaven, the false prophets and teachers had started operating in the church, causing confusion. And it is evident that they were already at work, carrying out their dirty work in the church during Paul's day. With this background in mind, I would like us to look at the necessary steps required for believers to handle the preaching, teaching, and even receiving a prophetic word. These guidelines will help us to deal with the misunderstanding such as this in a mature and a biblical manner. There are at least four guidelines necessary for the believers to embrace in order to avoid and deal with misunderstandings about the Bible. The first guideline is, base our lives on the authority of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or man or woman of God, may be competent, equipped for every good work." The word of God is the only infallible manual that we must live by and use to model our Christian lives. It's the reference book made available to us to check and bounce off anything that comes to us as guides, as instruction from God. It is through the word we discern the wrong from the right, which lead me to the next guideline. The accountability of teachers and preachers. James chapter 3 verse 1 reads, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." James brings up a sobering reality that those who are desiring to be public teachers are going to be held at a higher standard than everybody else. The office of teachers is highly rated among the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors. The church was left in the hands of teachers and pastors to be nourished and taken care of after apostles and evangelists left to establish new congregations. There are two dangers which every teacher must avoid. He must have every care that is teaching the truth and not his own opinions or even his own prejudices. It is fatally easy for a teacher to distort the truth and to teach not God's version but his own. The standard to become a teacher of the word of God is not something to be taken lightly. Those who use the word of God for their own gain and mislead his children will be judged. As seen here, Paul took responsibility for the misunderstanding as the pastor and the teacher of this church. And thirdly, the responsibility of the listener. If there is judgment for the teacher or preacher, what is the responsibility of the listener in receiving a sermon or a prophetic word? Is the listener supposed to be a passive receiver of the word of God? Not so according to Paul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, it reads, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good." In the first letter to this church, he instructs them not to despise prophecy because then they will be grieving the Spirit of God. Instead, they must test everything. Denying the ministry of prophecy would be denying the work of the Holy Spirit as the Lord of the church and also closing our ears to the words and works of Jesus. The second responsibility, which is of primary importance, is being doers of the word. James highlights this point in the following scripture. James chapter 1 verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." The onus remains on the believer to test the teaching or prophetic word we receive, but also most importantly, to walk the talk. The more we walk the talk, the easier we will differentiate between true and false. Fourthly, the community of believers. Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Lastly, to help us avoid misunderstandings and offenses, attending church services and meeting with other followers of Christ regularly will help us to avoid and iron out any misunderstanding or wrong doctrine that may arise. If you recall from earlier devotions, this church was commended for learning from other believers. This teaches us that iron sharpens iron. Secondly, that there are people observing and learning from us. The body of Christ is set up in such a way that we all participate in the body of Christ. In the words of John Wimber, we all get to play, and contribute to the wellness and growth of the church. And as we conclude, I pray that these few guidelines will help and lead us into an increased maturity and curb misunderstandings that may lead to unhealthy beliefs and teachings in the body of Christ. I hope that like me, listening to this devotion will remind us that and lead us to the source of all truth, which is the living word of God. I therefore would like to urge you in the coming week to take the responsibility for your own spiritual walk with God. If you have delegated this important role to pastors only or the famous prophets, take it back. Take this space back and own it. Build your own understanding of God and His Word so you are equipped to test the Word and understand the times we are living in right now. These times have proved that one has got to know how to apply the word of God to be victorious in these times we are living in. In short, I am challenging all of us to take the responsibility for our own growth, that when we meet as the church, we do not only meet to receive or sponging off of other believers, but are coming to church to contribute to whatever the Holy Spirit may lead us to minister in the body of Christ. Taking our own spiritual growth will help us avoid such deadly misunderstandings that may shipwreck our faith. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you in the day ahead.